May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts bring glory to you, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I invite you to please be seated. One of the points that Jesus was trying to make today in the gospel is how important it is to offer others encouragement and support and affirmation, especially when the future is daunting, challenging, and unpredictable. And so he sat with his disciples and he had a series of quick, short messages. The first one I'd like you to grab hold of and take with you. I'm often reminded of the conversation in the car on the way home from the Anglican Church in Simcoe, Ontario, where I grew up, where my father would look over his right shoulder and say to the three kids in the back seat, "So what did you learn at church today?" We knew that it was an exam, and that for the teacher types in the room, it was important to get an A++, because it determined what would be happening for the rest of the week. And so I learned, by about 18 or 19, that it was important to get something out of what was said in the morning. So I'm going to do you all a favor. For whoever is going to say to you, "What did you get out of church last week?" Here it is. Actions prove who someone is. Words just prove who they want to be. Did you catch it? One more time, maybe? Actions prove who someone is. Words just prove who they want to be. And Jesus is saying to the disciples, after everything you've been taught, the rubber hits the road here. This is the moment that you need to live what you've been taught. And then he was honest with them and said it would be difficult, and tried to prepare them the best he could. He'd been using stories. I remember an older gentleman in a former parish who met me at the front door one day and said, "When are you going to grow up?" I'd been deacon there about 2 weeks. "When are you going to grow up and start preaching mature messages? Jesus didn't tell stories." I'll tell you what I was thinking, but I really didn't want to spend the last 10 years of my ministry serving in the Amazon. Jesus wanted his followers to have hope, encouragement, affirmation, and support, and so he told them stories about bread and wine, light, shepherds, the way, the truth, and now he's using the image of a vine. So I brought an image. Take a really good look. Some of you will be saying, "Wow, there's a lot of grapes on there." Some of you are saying, "Well, there's the vine, there's the branches, there's the fruit." Remember that in this metaphor, God is the grower. Jesus is the vine, and you and I are the branches. And we are invited to bear much fruit in all that we say, do, and think. Now there are a few in this room that are going to be saying, "I don't know, Steve, those fruit don't look so good. I see some bruises, some bumps, some welts." Looked in the mirror lately? Now, I've got to do this for Mark. Can I tell him?
Sure.
All right. We're not naughty often, although we'd like to be. So one week, Mark's using the illustration of the grapes, and the Alta Guild of his time decided that it would be appropriate to use plastic or rubber grapes. because they would look perfect in every way and therefore not reflect humanity at all. In the middle of the night, he switched out the grapes for real ones. And in the homily, throughout the homily, he would take grapes and eat them. And four members of the altar guild almost had a stroke. Well done, good and faithful servant. Jesus wanted to deliver a real message. It needed to be relevant, it needed to be revitalizing, and it needed to be less than 25 minutes. It's all about relationship. Our relationship with God, with Christ, and with each other. And the metaphor is how Jesus uses his tool of hyperbole. You know, taking it right to the edge and then just tiptoeing over the edge. Did you know that left alone vines become thick? They're trailing plants that attach themselves to just about anything and wildly grow and result in a mess. And so a vine grower is needed to help keep the vine healthy and in order by cutting, pruning, reshaping, redesigning. The vine grower also cuts away the lifeless, unproductive branches and prunes the branches that are productive so that they can bear more fruit. So what is fruitful in the context of today's gospel? It is a community that is communal. It is a community that is compassionate. It is a community that constantly focuses on justice. Now, if I were to talk about the upcoming program that we provide clothes for children, one perspective I could offer would be this. Deborah, you got to get rid of the several bins of stuff in my basement, all those kids' clothes. Now, there's an Anglican response. Let me give you a different one. I hope to God we not only open and empty all those bins, but 25 more. That mums and dads and grandparents from across the city that are in need show up. And that we're able to clothe the children and provide them with toys and anything else that they need. Because a communal community, compassionate, and constantly focused on social justice community, that's what we do. And I am so excited about that project and how it responds so directly to the community around us. As long as the branches, in our metaphor today, remain connected to the vine, they live and produce fruit. What's the problem? Isn't this such a simple message? Don't you just sit at Jesus' feet, hear the message, and go out and live it? We could, we would, we might. I think it's our best of intentions. The problem is the distractions. Now, without intentionally offending anybody, may I dare say that this week there's a distinct possibility you're going to have voices in your head from at least 15 or 20 different directions. People telling you what to do, how to do it, where to do it, why to do it, who to do it, dab 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 dab. And eventually that's how it sounds, and worse, that's how it feels. And is it possible that there are responsible decisions you need to make this week that are clouded by those voices, and so you end up with the two extremes? If you are to have a hope in discovering the peace and the joy and the love in your life that Christ wants you to have, it means that you stay connected to Christ and his message in everything that you say and do and think. Because if you don't decide what voice speaks to your mind, this world will decide for you. So I want you to equip yourself. by the spiritual reading that you do, by your prayer life, by your time in scripture, by your time surrounding yourself in music. If you pop by our house without warning, first of all, I'll tell you, I'm probably going to let you in. But you'll notice a house that's filled with music and as many positive and healthy messages as possible, and often as possible to be surrounded in contemporary gospel music. Because if I don't have a voice speaking into my head and my heart, the voices deep, dark places within speak loudly on their own. Perhaps this has never happened to you. Maybe all of your thoughts are pure and holy and affirming and encouraging. And if they are, could we spend some more time together? Because I'd love to learn from you. But for me, too often, the messages from the outside world cloud out what I'm hoping God would speak if I were only listening. The image of the vine is transformed into a symbol of community, mission, and love in today's gospel. The community is known by its interdependence, its mutual respect, and a constant, insistent affirmation and encouragement of you as a believer. I remember there was a time and a place where the preacher would say, and if you were anything like me, a sinner, you would be on your knees begging for God's grace and forgiveness. Might I say that differently? If you're anything like me and you have a hope for joy, for love, and for peace, nurtured by prayer in the love of Christ, this week, surround yourself in his good news in every way possible. And for the love of Jesus, be gentle with yourself. Amen.